Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, it is Labor Day, and I hope that whatever your activities have been this day, you have taken time to thank God. If you have a job, you've taken time to thank God for those who are working at their jobs in order to make our lives better. I'm not suggesting that everybody's job makes our lives better, but there are a whole lot of people that most of us depend on without even recognizing most of the time what they're up to in order to make our lives better, whether it's the fact that we have electricity or that we have running water or the fact that we have technology that works. I mean, there's just a lot to be thankful for that is brought about through the efforts of other people's labor. And so on this holiday, we honor the labor of people who work. That's wonderful, isn't it? Good reason to celebrate. Well, there's another dimension to this. And I'm not suggesting it's an evil dimension. I'm suggesting it's something we need to talk about. And that is, there are people who basically feel like it's better just to get a check. Labor is not such a good thing. And if we're going to be Christian in our attitudes, then shouldn't we just try and redistribute the wealth so that there are no more poor, even though there are no more rich? And won't that work out better for everybody? I've asked my son, who's one of the sharpest people I know, to join me on this broadcast. And so, Clayton, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Now, you work full time with inner city poor. And you obviously care about poor people. You care about the plight of poor people. You care about the exploitation of poor people. What do you think of trying to solve those problems by switching our country from a capitalist approach to a socialist approach? Wouldn't that be better for everybody?
Well, the important thing for people who are considering that and who are prayerfully considering that is to examine the data, examine the evidence, and really learn the answer to that question. Winston Churchill has a great quote: "The inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of blessings. The inherent virtue of socialism is the equal sharing of miseries." And socialism as an approach has been tried again and again and again and again, and it's failed over and over and over. And it fails in many reasons that are tied to sin. Tied to sin, tied to the fact that people are not inherently good. We're not all working to make sure that everyone can have what they need. And there is a coercive nature of the state taking that means that those who work hardest, when they know that their labor is going to be exploited by the state, mm-hmm. for people who aren't working hard, don't work as hard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it in country after country after country, and people continue to point to capitalist countries and say, look, be socialist like they are in Sweden. And Sweden is not a socialist country. There are countries that are true examples of socialism, and those countries, like Cuba, Venezuela, are countries where the economy is completely imploded.
Yeah,
it is. It's a fundamental aspect of Christian thought that we are called to give freely without compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to give in calling with cheerfulness. And the government, the government's not good at redistributing that which it takes, but the government at the barrel of a gun, taking from those who have and giving from those who don't, mm-hmm. make everyone worse off. And I think probably the story, the biblical story that I've taught within the context of groups in the inner city who aren't familiar with it, that really juxtaposes these systems best is the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
The parable of the talents, a parable where a person who doesn't own much, who's given something to steward, time, talent, and treasure, which we're all given.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have time, talent, and treasure that we're called to steward by God.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who's given the least, who resents the owner, in this spiritual sense, resents God.
Yes.
I don't have as much as I should. Therefore, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to use this. I'm not going to go as hard as I can. I'm going to wait, because what I deserve is more than this.
Mm-hmm.
That person in the story meets God's wrath in the end.
Yes, for bad stewardship.
The one percenter, the person who has the most,
mm-hmm.
is given the pittance that the one person had.
Yes.
That they didn't use. And it's because they weren't using what they had for the glory of God. And there is absolutely, in the parable of talents, no redistribution. There's no, and I came back, and the guy with five who made five more, we got to give it to the guy with one. We're going to get everybody to three.
Right.
That's not the system that God created.
Mm-hmm.
It's not reflected in the unequal distribution of talents in terms of just abilities.
Wait, now, wait a minute. Society. Wait a minute. Clayton, wait a minute. Are you saying that God doesn't gift everyone equally in talents, intelligence, and physical ability? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And that there is inherent dignity, worth, value in each individual. And here's something that is challenging for people. It's very challenging. Because Ayn Rand, who is a hero to some, was... you know, as far as we know, she's in hell right now. I wish that she had understood the gospel in her writing. She clearly never came close to understanding the gospel.
Right.
And I wish that she had gotten saved, but as far as we can tell, she did not.
Right.
And she came from the horrific mass starvation caused by people pursuing government redistribution of wealth.
Right.
And so she had a hatred for it, which is very understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But she thought that selfishness was a virtue. And that does not work at all with what Christians are called to.
Right.
It is not a biblical understanding of using wealth.
Right.
So is socialism or communism found within the New Testament? Sure, it is found in a voluntary sense of giving to hold in common for those in need. But it is not giving for those in need without any reservation, without any qualification. Those in need in the New Testament are again and again described in detail, including the concept of worthy widows, widows in that society who had very little, who were in a horrible position, but we are commanded not to give to them unless they meet certain qualifications, and there is a reason given for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you give to a woman who should be working and is not, you will lead her astray. You will make her life worse. You will set her up for failure, because she will become a gossip and a busybody, and she won't have a fulfilling life. A widow in that society who's young, he says, should be remarrying. But he says she shouldn't be provided, essentially, on the dole,
mm-hmm.
in the church, because it's bad for her. It's bad for her. And God designed us to be people who work.
Amen.
God designed us to be people who have joy in pursuing obedience to him, including by giving all of our effort to obedience, including work, producing, making something, doing something.
Yep.
Now, for Christians, we've been blessed with abundance. This is an interesting question, Dad, and I know the answer already, so I'm asking you, and I'm not expecting you to know the answer.
Okay.
But I'm not saying this to embarrass you. I'm saying it because it's a pretty crazy stat.
Okay.
1% Occupy Wall Street, the 1%.
Right.
To be in the 1% after taxes in the world, how much are you making a year?
Oh, goodness. No, I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to take a wild guess. $60,000.
It's $34,000. Well, I said after taxes.
Yeah.
But it's $34,000 after taxes. You're part of the 1%. And Americans make up half of the 1%ers on the planet.
Wow. We're pretty blessed here.
We're very blessed, and we should not ignore those who are in need. And we should never say, the verse says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat.
Right.
It doesn't say in 2 Thessalonians, if a person doesn't work, they should starve to death.
Right.
It says if they will not, people who are handicapped, people who are unable to work, should be supported and cared for. But they should be supported and cared for relationally,
mm-hmm.
within the context of churches that care for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're a slave to sin, they need the gospel, because prior to their conversion, they're going to be, you know, so wrapped up in so many things that,
yep.
hold them in bondage that,
yep.
perhaps they can't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're a believer, they will be in a community where there's accountability for the care that's given.
Yes.
And those most people, the vast majority of people, will be brought to a place where they can know the joy and dignity that comes from obeying God's command for all of us to work.
Amen. Now, Proverbs 31, that clearly shows that women are not supposed to have to work at all, right? They just, that's not how you read Proverbs 31?
A godly woman works. A godly woman doesn't have to. Well, Dad, let me tell you about the particular business that all women should be involved in. No, we are all different.
Right.
We're all made by God in His image, but we're made differently.
Mm-hmm.
And different people have our program that Thrive, that works in the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
We are somewhat unique in inner city work because we are not trying to get every kid in our program to go to college.
Right.
Now, it's not wrong to go to college. And I want some of our kids in the program to go to college, and I've made it clear to them, I'll be very disappointed and frustrated if they don't, and we are doing everything we can to get them there.
Right.
But some of the kids in our program, it would be a foolish thing for them to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
They can succeed at a much higher level, they can earn more money, and they can be more fulfilled in their work if they don't go to college.
Right.
We should be recognizing that within our society, that one of the reasons that people end up with, you know, wanting redistribution is because they say, you know, so-and-so doesn't do well enough, so-and-so doesn't make enough. The prosperity gospel is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow God, you can walk in obedience, and you cannot be rich.
Right.
But in Proverbs, it is descriptive of society to say, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is, I've worked in construction, I've worked in pizza delivery, I've worked in a tech company, I've worked in a law firm, I've worked in nonprofit, for-profit. Most people aren't very good at their jobs.
Amen.
Most people are rebellious against their boss.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have a bad attitude more often than they have a good attitude.
Right.
And if you are a person who is listening to this radio program and you say, I'm going to glorify God, I'm going to be a bright, shining light, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do, I'm going to be on time, I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to take responsibility for things that I do want to screw up from time to time,
mm-hmm.
you will be a dream for whoever's employing you.
Amen. Amen.
You will be a person who continues to go, man, I got promoted. And that's regardless of what field you end up in.
Right.
So recognizing that we all have different gifts and abilities, being a person who follows Christ and has high character means you will have value in the workplace, whatever field you're in.
Yes. And you need to be in a field that God has tailor-made for you and tailor-made you for that field. People need to discover what their gifts and strengths are and then seek employment in that field. I used to do career counseling many years ago. That was something while I was in graduate school that I got a job doing, was doing some personal counseling and career counseling for college students. And one of the things that, you know, I didn't invent, but it was a good mantra, is find something that you would like to do and be willing to do for free, and then find a way to get paid to do that thing. You know, what do you really enjoy? Now, that this isn't just follow your passion. You know, my passion actually is assassinating people. It's you know, but find something that you really do enjoy. We had a friend in New England many years ago. He's still friends today. And he had a good, respectable job, made a good income, hated his job, absolutely hated it. Wasn't that he wasn't good at it. He was just miserable in it. And what he did with his spare time was to work out at the gym. He just loved working out at the gym, loved trying the new equipment, all this stuff. And I said, John, you and your wife both love to work out. You're in fabulous shape. Why don't you open a health club? He was like, oh, I could never do that. Well, actually, he did do it. He saved up his money at the job he was working in because now he had a goal, and he used that money to start a health club in New Jersey. He still owns a health club in New Jersey. and that was 1979. I'm just telling you, he found that he could actually make a really good living and be a blessing to others, bringing good health, exercise, training to other people, blessing their lives and their families by doing something he really loved, doing something he enjoyed. And folks, you need to find what it is God made you for. What are you wired to do? I told my son, Clayton, who's on this broadcast with me, when he was in his early teens, son, I don't know if you're supposed to be a lawyer, but you need to go to law school because the way your mind works and the way that you debate, you really ought to get training in law. Well, Clayton, how old were you when you got your law degree?
Oh, I was 21.
21 years old when he finished his law degree at one of the top law schools in the country. How did that happen? Well, it's because it's what he was made for. It's what he was wired for. And he's been able to use that working with the poor in the inner city. He's been able to use that working in a corporation that was a nanotech firm. He's been able to use that in all kinds of ways, including sermon preparation for the church that he helped found in the inner city. God has made you, you who are listening right now, he made you with a plan. And if your goal is to try and do whatever you have to do in order to get a lot of money, you are throwing your life away. But if your goal is to take whatever talents and abilities God has given you and use them for his glory and the blessing of others, you have a partner in business, a senior partner in business, who will not only make sure you have what you need, but he'll give you wisdom and direction as you seek to honor him. His name is Jesus. He's not going to leave you on your own. He's not going to say, well, good luck. I've never seen anybody do that before. God will give you direction. And I'll tell you this, you've got to be willing to take risks. You've got to be willing to make mistakes because that is often a vital part of the learning process. But do not be afraid if your trust is in the Lord. If you are counting on him as the one that you are working for, he's the one who's the owner. Years ago, I introduced what I understood to be the owner of a large company based in Atlanta, Georgia. And I wanted him, I knew he was a devoted Christian. I wanted him to speak to the men in our church. And I introduced him as the owner of Edwards Baking Company. And Joe got up and he said, well, I want to thank you for that kind introduction, but I need to correct one thing. I'm not the owner of Edwards Baking Company. And I thought, oh my word, how could I have been so misinformed? And he said, God is the owner of Edwards Baking Company. I work for him. And that was not just glib posturing. Joe really had an attitude that this company belongs to God, and I need to prayerfully see what he wants me to do and then use the resources in order to advance the kingdom of God. Now, Labor Day, regardless of what your job is, you need to be doing it for the glory of God. And if you are, as I hope you are, concerned about justice and concerned about the poor, you need to understand that the most disastrous economic plan that some evil people and some very good, well-intentioned, but ignorant people are trying to advance is socialism. Socialism, as Clayton said, has been a disaster everywhere it's been tried. Everybody thinks, well, we'll make it work. No, it doesn't work because it doesn't deal with the realities of human nature. So, capitalism, it has its flaws. Clayton gave us a quote from the great British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. I'll give you another quote from another British Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher. She said, the problem with socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And that's the truth. And socialism only works for a little while until the rich say, I'm out of here. I am not saying that everything that some capitalists do is good. Greed is not good. Selfishness is not good. But working hard and being rewarded accordingly is biblical. As Clayton said.
Well, and then being able to give with cheerfulness, which is biblical.
Amen.
You know, there is abundance that is just ubiquitous here in America. And again, the prosperity gospel is a lie. We know that when we're around godly people in other countries. The majority
yes.
Christian doesn't look like a white American. The majority world Christian is an African.
Yes.
And in most parts of the world, you can work very hard and be very, you know, virtuous, and you won't have very much money.
Right.
But in America, there's an incredible abundance that comes with our capitalist system. And when you have excess, you're the best person to decide what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best person to decide, in obedience to God, how to partner with where he's leading you to invest that money.
Amen.
And it's a joy to be able to do that.
Amen.
And it's a joy that's taken away when a bureaucrat who is taking it from you is giving it to someone who's not who you would give it to.
Right.
And is giving it to them in a way that incentivizes their sin
mm-hmm.
and makes their life worse.
Amen.
So the entire system that is set up, that has been tried again and again and again, that people call just isn't just.
Amen.
That people call helping the poor hurts the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So people who have good intentions need to do a better job of studying and learning from history and of learning from the current examples to see that if they love the poor, if they care for them, if they want to advocate for the fatherless, if they want to help the widows, which they should.
Yes.
That it needs to happen relationally, and it needs to be their personal investment that is tied to what God's leading them to support, not having a bureaucrat somewhere else take the money and give it to things that hurt the people who are receiving it.
Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, the one who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. Folks, I pray that your Labor Day has been an encouraging time. I hope you are rejoicing in the blessings God has put in your life. And I hope that whatever you do this week, you will do for the glory of God. Be sure and tune in tomorrow. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.